Take a look around the landscape and notice all the places set aside for riding bicycles, like streets with brand new bike lanes. Then notice all the cars and trucks with bike racks. Getting around on two wheels with no motor, or at least a small motor, is a big deal right now. And our first guest hopes to capitalize on the trend. David Vidmar is a sometime Ashland resident. He's the creator of the Glide Cycle. It's a little unusual looking, with the frame outside the rider. The big front-to-back bar is over the rider's head. Underneath, no pedals. David Vidmar will be seen tomorrow night on CNBC on Make Me a Millionaire Inventor, hoping for just that status. He can't tell us the results of the show, which, of course, he knows, and he's going to keep a big, fat secret from us. But that's his deal with CNBC. David Vidmar, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're very welcome, Jeffrey. It's nice to be here today and just answer any questions you'd like.
Tell us about the whole idea of the Glide Cycle, how it came to you.
Well, like a lot of lifelong athletes, time catches up with us. Knee pain and hip pain started to prevent me from running. I was a sailor sailing many years around the world on my boat, having retired from Alaska, and running and climbing was my passion. I fancied myself as an adventurer, and suddenly found myself as an adventurer with a big swollen knee. So I remembered years before in the Rio Dulce River area, there was a banana plantation that I visited. And the people
in what country?
In Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
And the people carried the bananas out of the fields on big baskets that they would raise up with 3-to-1 hoist. And on a zip line, like, the guys would jump up, grab these baskets, and push them. And they would start running through the banana forest. And it was like running like an avatar. They had no body weight. And every step could be a pickup truck and a half long or half of a pickup truck, jump over a stream, climb. Oh, it was fantastic, Jeff. And I looked at that and I said, I would love to be able to do that. Imagine running without your body weight. So years went by. I didn't need to do that. And then suddenly I was here in Ashland, where my whole family lives. My brother's a professor here at the university. My sister used to own the Shakespeare bookstore. She works down there still. And my parents finally moved out. And jumping off of a rock up on Pilot Rock, I suddenly found myself with a giant knee, a big swollen knee. And doctors told me here that they would have to do serious operations on my knees and hips, and that I had worn myself out as an athlete. I'm like, well, wait a minute, I'm only mid-50s. I'm a super strong, super athlete. What is this? I'm going to end up with false knees? Well, I decided not to do that. I went back and rehabbed my knee on a boat. It took 2.5 months of swimming and not walking. So they were right. I actually was having a really difficult time learning to walk again. And that's when I remembered that banana plantation. So I went up to Oregon, came back here to Oregon, and I went to the little local Goodwill store, and I bought a couple of bicycles, and I chopped them up, and then went over to Hassel, Brett Hassel over there by the airport, and he bent me an unusual tube, and I put it over my head, and we welded it up to the bicycle wheels and made a special handlebar and put my climbing harness in it and hopped on it and ran downhill and thought, my God, it works. Then I turned around to come uphill, and it hurt so bad I couldn't go 50 feet. And I learned that harnesses that lift the human body, like in a parachute harness or something like that, hurt so bad you literally can't move in them. So
is it because they're squeezing your chest or something?
It's because partly they can squeeze the chest, but mostly the webbing grinds into your groin, and that perineal pressure or pressure in your crotch can be unbearable. You can also just sit on a bicycle and take the pedals off and push yourself, but that perineal pressure becomes impossible again. So little did I know that hanging a human being by his crotch and having him thank us for it was going to be the core problem we would wrestle with for over 2 years and $100,000, four companies, a $15,000 and then a $20,000 award out to any engineer who could solve that problem. No one found it. I ended up burying the project and just returning to sailing, and some local guys here, Lance Pugh, a longtime resident here, was one of the fellows who just believed in this project so much. And they worked on it a little bit, but never really got anywhere. I finally found the solution accidentally up in my sailboat mast. Sitting on a spreader, I realized that the pelvis is really the core around which all ambulation occurs, but it's not really necessarily a part of it. Your legs can move while your pelvis is stationary. Your back can move, the same thing. Slight anterior rotation of the pelvis with each step, but even if that's limited, you can still walk. So I came back home, and in Jeff Sterling's place out in Sam's Valley, we welded up and put together the first seat that really worked. It suspended the body by holding the ischium, or the butt bones, in counterpoise to the hip bones, or the anterior superior iliac spine. And wow, I went out and I ran 22 miles and I came back and I said, we got it here. At that time, honestly, I didn't know the anterior superior iliac spine, called the ASIS from my ASS.
But didn't know one from the other, right?
No, but it worked. And then that was the beginning.
David Vidmar is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the inventor of the glide cycle. He'll be seen tomorrow night on CNBC's Make Me a Millionaire Inventor. We'll find out if, in fact, he got that status from the show, trying to raise money to launch his product, the glide cycle. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, same number, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, you never thought you'd have to know that much about human anatomy just to be able to build a bicycle that worked for you, huh?
No, I didn't. But then to think about whether this bicycle would hurt anyone or create nerve damage or anything like that became sort of an issue for a little while. And while we were in the midst of testing and making our Alpha 1 series, our Alpha 2 and our Beta 1 and Beta 2 series, which was 85 bikes, we looked for those problems. We searched for them, much like you would a drug test, phase one and phase two. And in the middle of that, doctors came to us and they said, my God, man, you're lifting human beings in a way that we need. And I said, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, we lift people in parachute harnesses to train them through strokes and spinal cords. Can you do something indoors for us? So we started with the glide track, which uses our proprietary pelvic suspension system with other harnesses to lift human beings off the ground. Rogue Valley Medical Hospital and a couple other places around here were kind enough to take our equipment in and use it and teach us what they really needed and what they wanted. Suddenly, we found ourselves smack dab in the middle of a medical field called body weight supported treadmill training, with, according to the University of California and Brigham Young University, one of the best ways to lift the human body that is out there. It is amazing, Jeff. If you take a kid and put him inside of a phone booth and tell him to pitch a baseball, he's never going to learn. If you take somebody who had a stroke and you tell him to walk again, holding onto a walker and parallel bars or going in the swimming pool, it's hard for the brain to learn to walk again. But in our equipment, if we can lift them off the ground and allow their body to move in a naturalized gait, the brain has this neuroplastic fantastic ability of reconnecting and regrowing and learning. And people are seeing these huge functional recoveries from training in the air to walking over the ground in their real life. My gosh, it was as close to, you know, a Jesus experience as I'll ever get. I've literally seen people start moving their legs that couldn't, things like that, and it was quite inspiring. So the Glide Cycle project fell to the side. Well, the more humanitarian benefit of this glide track product came about, that led to harnesses and other kinds of equipment that we think we build better than others. Our shop is over in Medford, Oregon, and we employ a lot of other regional companies to supply parts from time to time. And then we also bring some parts in from overseas because it's in the bicycle industry. Then all of a sudden, roaming around down in California, some guy points a camera at me and says, what the heck is that? Which is the thing we hear probably most of all on a glide cycle. Although I'd like to interject, the most coolest comment I've ever seen was a four-year-old girl with the biggest eyes. She looked over at me and she said, what are you? Anyway, this guy who pointed a camera at us was a producer for a new television show called Make Me a Millionaire Inventor on CNBC. And over 200,000 people applied, companies and patents were reviewed, and you know, a lot of people would like to get on something like that. So it's like winning a little mini lottery. We never replied. They called us up and they said, we'd like to have you on the show. I said, okay. So they came out here and filmed for a full day in Medford and came into my shop, came into my family's home. They actually went into the rehabilitation center at the Rogue Valley Hospital, but they're not able to use that film because they couldn't get some clearance. But it was a wonderful experience with 40 people. Then 3 days more of filming down in Los Angeles, where they treated me so well. It was unbelievable. And all I could eat. But, you know, at the end of the day, I left the land of wine and oil for butter and beer. But it was fabulous. It's like being queen for a day or something like that.
They really put you on a pedestal while you're in
this, yeah, they really do. My God, you walk up and somebody yells out, talent on the set. Three cameras fire up. People comb your hair. You wander around, anything you want. And what they're really doing is they're filming you from every angle so that they can get different facial features.
I want to get that look of surprise or disgust, yeah, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. David Vidmar will appear tomorrow night on CNBC's Make Me a Millionaire Inventor with the glide cycle, which he developed for reasons you just heard already, that he needed to find ways to be able to get himself around that put a lot less pressure on his skeletal system. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions or comments, or maybe you've actually seen one of the glide cycles. 800-838-3760 around the region, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I guess you've answered the question already. Why not have a bar under the rider? And it's because of that pressure against the groin. So you really want to make sure you're suspending people from above. But odd-looking contraption, certainly. How does it handle? I've often wondered about the glide cycle steering and handling, because you got your center of gravity is a little higher, I would think.
Yeah, good question. Actually, the reason we don't have the bar underneath your legs is because by having us suspended by webs from this low center of rotation, our body is divorced from the mechanical features of the bike, and we literally remain functionally upright during turns, and we're able to run. I run generally 10 to 15 miles every day now, and I average 5.5 to 6.5 minute miles. I can do a 4:30 mile on this, and we think we're going to have people breaking a 3:30 mile. It is literally an avatar machine. It'll climb anything. Cindy and I, as my favorite runner, we would run up Dead Indian Road a couple times a week on it. Oh my gosh, it's like, you could, according to Brigham Young University, a guy like me, around 200 pounds, can run with the body weight of a 50-pound child and the muscle mass of an adult athlete. That makes you an avatar.
But that's an interesting point you bring up about the speed, though, is that if somebody's looking for a bicycle experience, this is not the place to go. If they're looking for a fast bicycle experience, this is more of a running experience.
This is a new product category in which there are other products like the Elliptigo, or there's several elliptical-type bicycles that take you outside. We're generally regarded as the outdoor fitness cycle market as opposed to transportation. Although there's a lot of people, including myself, that like to run commute as opposed to bike commute. Here's a really important point. On a bike path, going 17 miles an hour or 16 miles an hour on a mountain bike, or 20 miles an hour or 22 miles an hour on a road bike, can be dangerous. A glide cycle can get me to that same level of heart rate, 155, 160 beats a minute, at 8 to 12 miles an hour. I'm safer. I'm better under control. Glide cycles actually turn in, sideways to you. You can run up a set of stairs. You can run down. You can stop them instantly because you not only have brakes, but you have feet. And I mean, they stop within, like, say you're going 12 miles an hour, you can stop within a foot. Of once you're aware. I swear to God, they're incredible. The rear wheel will come up in the air, but you'll be stopped.
So the way you explained the process, it sounds like once Glide Track got to be known and you began to work on that, that Glide Cycle got shoved aside. Did you not really planned on turning it into something new? Or just was, it doesn't seem to have been your main focus?
Like many startup companies, like many people's lives, what you start out and plan isn't what ends up happening. In other words, that old adage that we learned in business school about a company, a startup company, you never know what they're going to do a year from now, is really, really true. You have to follow the market and what's happening. And the glide cycle is where my heart and soul is. That's me. The medical field, though, is so inspiring that we had to follow that dream. Unfortunately, we don't have the finances and the bandwidth to, you know, run both products. And as anyone who's in a startup, especially on this level, knows, you know, it's a major financial commitment. So I'm all in. I threw all my retirement in. If I don't succeed in this, I'm working at McDonald's. Always wanted to go back to work at a Fortune 500 company.
McDonald's, you mean?
Yeah.
That's one way to look at it. So well, you know, obviously we're kind of stuck here because we can't talk about the outcome of the show. You're bound by contract to not reveal the results of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Inventor. But can you at least tell us if the future looks pretty good for the Glide Cycle? Are we going to see more of these out there?
Well, I can tell you that I'm firmly committed, and I have a board of directors, and they've thrown more money in, and we're continuing to raise more money. We're going to do Kickstarter, so we're moving along as if this show didn't happen, okay? But we did meet. They told us we were going to meet a millionaire. We actually met a billionaire with a B, and he came in, and he was... they also brought in a man named John Golden from a company called Exos. Exos is widely known, a very huge company for developing programs for individual athletes and sports teams around the world for fitness. And they introduce or develop new products for fitness. John did an evaluation of the Glide Cycle on the show, which was probably really something everybody should see. And the billionaire was there. And I guess I don't know what to say after this. You know, you just have to watch and see. But the intention of the Make Me a Millionaire Inventor show is not to Shark Tank your way through things. It's not about money. And that's what I liked about it. Shark Tank invited us to be on 3 times, and we turned them down. What I like about the Make Me a Millionaire Inventor show is they try to show the kind of commitment that it takes, the way that you can, you know, the way that anybody could do this. If you believe in your dream, get out in your garage, hammer and tinker. Don't be afraid to go for it. Don't be afraid to raise some money with family and friends. Don't be afraid to stand there while everybody laughs at you. I remember Wilbur Wright sitting on a fence, not personally, a story, and I am old, but a man from a newspaper in New York came up to him and said, "Sir, this flying business of yours looks really dangerous, and that's an odd-looking contraption." He said, "Sir, if you believe that," a man from, I think, the Philadelphia Press, he said, "you would do well to go over there and watch the blackbirds fly. Me, I have history to make."
Huh. All right. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Or Make Me a Millionaire Inventor is on CNBC. David Vidmar will appear on the show. What time is it doing this?
It's at 10 o'clock for sure, and I believe it's on at 7 o'clock, too. There's some controversy over that, but they're going to air it at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you'll also pick it up here, CNBC.
Okay. All right. Best of luck with the Glide Cycle. David Vidmar, thanks for joining us.